Welcome to Two Wings to God. I'm your host, Rob Agnelli. Aristotle was perhaps the most comprehensive thinker in the ancient world. His was a philosophy that dealt with man as he is, both body and soul, always placing the goods of the soul, like virtue and contemplation, above the goods of the body, because they allowed us to be truly free. He put a tremendous stress on the importance of leisure because of its connection with our use of freedom. What do we do when all else is done? If Aristotle were to return to the earth now in 2016 and see all that has been accomplished, he would assume that he would find a society that had a great deal of leisure in their lives. With all the technological advances and labor-saving devices, he would have expected that this allowed man a greater use of his time in free activity. Aristotle, like most of the ancient world, thought that we work in order to be at leisure, not the other way around like we do today. Much to his surprise, he would find a society today that no longer knew the meaning of leisure and was stretched out like never before. We are so infected with consumerism that we believe that all life's needs and their satisfaction come from purchasable items. It has enslaved most of us, and it seems that we are trapped in a vicious circle. How can we get out of this trap? Stay tuned to today's episode to find out.
Let me hear your words above all other voices, above all the distractions in this world.
Buried within the Catechism in paragraph 2172, the Church offers us, or more accurately reminds us, of the perennial antidote to this snare of stress, this cycle that we're in. In discussing the third commandment, the Catechism tells us that one of the meanings of the Sabbath is that it is, quote, a day of protest against the servitude of work and the worship of money. That bears repeating, a day of protest against the servitude of work and the worship of money. In other words, the Sabbath is the supreme sign of our freedom from the trappings of this world. In order to live out the gift of the Sabbath, we must first understand what it is and why God gave it to us. So foundational is it to human life and thriving that we find it in the beginning. God, quote, rested on the seventh day from all the work he had undertaken. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work he had done in creation, end quote. That's Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. This image of God, whom Jesus described as always at work, quote-unquote resting, is charged with a wealth of meaning. As St. John Paul II said in his apostolic exhortation, Dies Domini, quote, it would be banal to interpret God's rest as a kind of inactivity. Instead, it is meant to draw our attention to the fullness of what God has accomplished. God pauses to look upon the marvel of what he has created, and through this, the Holy Spirit invites us to do the same. But, and this is a really important but, it is no mere interruption of work. As St. Thomas Aquinas often says, last in the order of execution, first in the order of intention. God's rest is the last thing he does in the creation account because it is meant to serve as a sign of what he intends to accomplish, what the most important thing is he puts last. He invites man to participate because is it a visible sign? A small s sacrament of man's final destination of an eternal rest in God's presence. The Sabbath then is a sign, not the real thing, but a sign meant to bring about the thing it signifies. As Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, verses 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. As John Paul II says, only by actively participating in the Sabbath can we experience what he calls a tremor of the Creator's joy, by beholding what he has made is to be very good. With the fall of mankind, the Sabbath becomes more important for us because it signifies the vital link between creation and salvation. Evidence the two accounts of the Decalogue and the Pentateuch. First, in Exodus 20, the emphasis is placed on not doing any work and imitating God by resting on the Sabbath. Then if we jump to Deuteronomy chapter 5, the emphasis is now on remembering the salvation God gave them when he brought them out of Egypt. It is this connection between creation and salvation, remembering salvation, that makes the Sabbath fully what it is. And it is this connection that causes so much tension between Jesus and the Pharisees about his healings on the Sabbath. It is not, as some people would have us think, that Jesus is some rebellious rule breaker, but that he's trying to reveal the true meaning of the Sabbath by restoring its liberating character. This is why the evangelists repeatedly tell the story of Jesus' healing on the Sabbath. If you look at it, in each and every case, he heals some illness that would have been an impediment to someone participating in the full worship of the Jews. The early church had the habit of celebrating both the Lord's Day on Sunday and the Sabbath on Saturday. This link between creation and salvation is what then made it easy for these early Christians to believe that they had authority to transfer the fullness of the Sabbath to the Lord's Day. It was Sunday that fulfilled the Sabbath. They came to view Sunday as the eighth day. It was the day of the resurrection, and therefore the definitive saving action of God. It was also the first day of the week, and thus the day of creation and truly recreation. With a proper understanding of the Sabbath restored, the question naturally arises as to how we are best to celebrate it. As John Paul II reminded us, sharing in the Eucharist is the heart of Sunday, but the duty to keep Sunday holy cannot be reduced just to this. It is lived well, he said, quote, if it is marked from beginning to end by grateful and active remembrance of God's saving work, end quote. It should be seen not so much as free time, but more accurately as freedom time, the time in which we exercise true freedom of the sons of God. So what are some concrete things we can do to mark this holy day? It should be a day in which we stop and thank God for all the gifts he has given us. The deeper our sense of gratitude not in the general sense, but gratitude for very specific things, always thanking God by counting our blessings and naming them, the deeper our participation in the Sabbath will be. Also, allowing ourselves to be free from consumerist-driven leisure activities and enjoy the natural world is certainly a great thing to do. In God's design, the world was meant to be his temple, and so he has left traces of himself all throughout. And these traces, we can only find them when we allow for contemplation. The former pontiff said that the Sabbath should also include, quote, a relaxed gathering of parents and children that can be marked by prayer and catechesis. This catechesis is not simply dropping the kids off at the parish, but it should be catechesis that includes the whole family. Sunday is an opportunity also to devote our time to the works of mercy, to charity, and to the apostolate. If the purpose of Sunday is to capture the joy of the Lord, then it is necessary to keep the commandment of both love of God and love of neighbor that our Lord commands us in John chapter 15. A question we often get is, what about activities that cause other people to work, like going to a restaurant, for example? Personally, I would suggest keeping these at a minimum, but you might consider being more generous in your tipping to help those who do have to work. In a society that has lost the habit of the Sabbath rest, there are many people who now have to work. By generously tipping them, you may help them get out of this necessity. You may also begin to frequent those places that are closed on Sundays and go there on other days of the week as well. Also, it's important to avoid any unnecessary shopping or shopping that could be done on another day. Again, it frees us from the trap of work and consumerism, but it has a practical benefit as well. If large chain stores begin to see that it is not as profitable to remain open on Sunday, they will either close down or at least they'll have less people at work. Again, we need to best judge for ourselves how we are to treat the day differently, but what is not negotiable is the fact that the day should be marked by some way in which we treat this differently. It's not just the weekend, it's Sunday, and Sunday is a different day. It should be marked by gratitude and contemplation, two habits that are very difficult to have in our culture. The Sabbath is made for man. For more on this and all aspects of our divine faith, navigate over to www.twowingstogod.com. That's www.twowingstogod.com.